Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Blackbusters.
What's cracking with your family? What's happening? What's going on? Welcome to another episode of Blackbuster. I'm your host, Big Ja, along with...
I'm not an OG. I'm a no G. It's no G tone tone.
No G tone tone.
No G tone tone.
No G tone tone.
I was going to say two tone, but it might be a real two tone out there.
Ooh,
so
hey,
I want no trouble.
It's for sure.
Yeah,
one.
I know it's a real
yeah,
tone.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I'm a no G.
No G.
But no G tone tone.
Tone tone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Straight out of Pasadena.
Pasadena Moffitt. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It's gang.
Pasadena, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you see what I got on real quick. If y'all can guess in the title, in the comments before I even say it, let's see if I can get it real quick. Well, I'm sure y'all do. Y'all see the whole fit.
Mm-hmm.
We doing Straight Outta Compton today, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't from Compton. I'm from South Central. You know what I'm saying? So I got to represent all day. You already know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we about to have a good time, man. This was a dope-ass film. I really enjoyed it. Knowing, being from L.A., being a fan of N.W.A., this was definitely a dope project for me to watch. And hopefully it was for y'all. We about to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Before I do that, I gotta let y'all know who we are. Y'all see him. You know what I'm saying? My bro.
What's going on?
You know what I'm saying?
Yo,
my bro. You know what I'm saying? Brother from another mother, Jay Ali. What's cracking, man?
What's
finally
up,
got
man?
You on the show.
Yeah.
I appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah,
No G.
Man.
So we with no G tone tone.
Yeah. Man. No finally G got you on the show. And I was like, bro, I hit you. I said, man, we about to do Straight Outta Compton. And I feel like, you are an artist.
Yeah.
I'm an actor, I'm an artist as well, not a music artist. But, I feel like watching this back in 2015 reminds me of us in a way.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not gangster rappers and nothing like that, but we definitely, you are one of a handful of homies that I started with when it came to, building my brand as an entertainer and everything, same. Man. And so and dealing with N.W.A., Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Eazy-E, MC Ren, DJ Yella. Mm-hmm. I said, let me get my boy Jali out here, man.
Yeah.
The new, I wouldn't even say the new Dre, the new J.
Yeah, no.
You know what I'm saying?
It, bro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, bro, we doing our thing, man. And I want to talk about this film. I know you watched it. Oh, I know we all watched it.
Yeah,
it came out.
Yeah.
But us being from the city, Inglewood.
Inglewood in the house.
Mm-hmm. Pasadena.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But L.A. first.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
L.A. first.
I'm throwing myself all the way out.
Yeah. L.A. first.
Yeah,
you know
L.A. first.
Yes,
which
indeed.
Like Lebert Park.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's in the heat.
That's
yeah.
in the
stone's
in the,
throw from the Jays.
Yeah, for sure. Right there.
Still. No G.
But yeah, I mean, everybody is from the city in some way, is from the city. You know what I'm saying? It's from like, all these different
areas.
You
know the rules.
You know what I'm saying? You know the rules, and you don't even got to be affiliated a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But nah, man, this movie I thought was dope. And it takes place in, 86?
1986.
Yeah. At the beginning of it?
Yeah.
The very beginning?
86. Compton.
Yeah. 86 in Compton.
Yeah.
And let's just get, obviously, we know N.W.A., Niggas With Attitude, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, Ice Cube, MC Ren, DJ Yella, or the pioneers, the popular pioneers. Of course, we got the Ice T's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got the King T's. You know what I'm saying? Well, not the King T's or the Ice T, the King T and Ice T.
Mm-hmm.
And they was doing their thing even before NWA. But NWA hit the scene something vicious.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to where nobody was ready for what they had and what they was going to be
doing. Are we all about the same age?
Yes.
Roughly?
Yeah. A couple years younger, but yeah.
And we were all in LA? Or
for sure.
Yes.
I remember people talking about NWA on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Elementary school playground. Right? Yeah. Like, and I remember people talking about Eazy-E.
Yeah.
And we want Eazy and niggas with attitude and NWA. And think about how big it has to be for it to find its way all the way down to the kids.
Right.
The kids.
Facts. Facts. Being from, I was a kid, you was even younger than that. I would say 9, 8, 9, 10. NWA, We Went Eazy was playing on the box.
Mm-hmm. The box.
Every day, all day. You might be a little too young.
I know the box. Yeah.
But I remember this is before Ice Cube was by itself.
Yep.
This is before The Chronic. You know what I'm saying? I remember that too. I remember Straight Outta Compton. I remember watching the news and seeing them steamroll over the cassettes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I was a kid, obviously. I'm the youngest of my older siblings. My brothers are the same age as Dr. Dre and Eazy-E and stuff like that. So, and my brothers know, they know that my brother is, he's a musician. So he knows Dre personally, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Before he was, you know what I'm saying? But he was still, was the worldwide,
world class record crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fucking with Lonzo.
So my brothers and them would be up there at the functions, you know what I'm saying?
That's great. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So they remember the time before these dudes became like the face of gangster rap.
Yeah.
Hood tales, hood rap.
Me and being younger, I think I caught it like, 92? After America's Most. Was it 91?
Yeah.
Caught 91. It right in that when they separated.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I remember No Vaseline.
I remember No Vaseline.
My cousin Donnie, man, shout out to my cousin Donnie Brown, man, love you. He was a huge hip hop head. He used to rap back in the day. And at that time, he's 13, 14. So he's even, I'm 10. 91, I'm 10. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And he just was putting me on to so much. He was like, I had older brothers, but they were so much older than me. He was my older brother that was only a few years older. So a lot of stuff he let me listen to because I was right there. But nah, Death Certificate with Ice Cube.
Oh, fire.
You know what I'm saying? Come on. Lethal Injection. Come on, bro.
Come on.
The Lynch Mob.
Yeah.
When he left Death, he left Ruthless and was with the Lynch Mob. That was gorillas. The name, the Gorillas in the Mist.
That was my shit.
That
was my shit.
And it was just crazy how these dudes left. They were strong together, and they broke apart into their own separate shits, and they still was doing their thing. If Eazy-E wouldn't have passed away, he would have done so many good things.
In the industry,
he would have had so many other artists behind him doing this thing. He passed away too soon. But like, this is start from the beginning where these guys, Ice Cube was in high school.
Yeah.
Going to Palisades.
Yeah.
Living in the hood. And like a lot of kids, we're getting bust out to the Valley, bust out to Malibu, bust out to just different places.
You're going to Pali, you're going to Taft.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. Banning, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so he was one of those kids that instead of going to like Crenshaw, Fremont, Washington, Dorsey, Jefferson, he ended up going out to the Palisades. And on the bus in his rhyme book. You know what I mean? And it's crazy how these dudes, to us, these guys are like figures and icons, but at one point in time, this is just a homie's cousin.
They was just the homie's cousin.
You know what I'm saying?
So, trying to do music.
Yeah, so Ice Cube Dre got kicked out of his mom's house. It was kind of crazy, dude. That scene was a little too extra, too early.
Yeah.
It did.
Like,
it
did. He forgot a job interview. He gets slapped up for, I get it. They were dramatizing that he's getting kicked out. And who knows? It might have really happened.
Yeah, she could have been slapping him all the time.
Yeah, you got to slap. You got to go.
His mama didn't see that vision.
Yeah,
didn't see the vision.
But they had to set it up that way, right? Yeah. They have to create the circumstances in which these guys, you know,
don't nobody from do Compton go nowhere, bro. Don't nobody from Compton do nothing.
Yeah.
And like that.
No,
you're right. And this is 86. This is the 80s, the mid 80s. She's like, you need to become a truck driver, a garbage man, and a garbage man is a great profession back then, and even right now. This is a blue collar worker. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Go to work and become a bank teller.
And hip hop hasn't come west yet like that.
No,
right?
No.
Like, so Ice-T is a West Coaster, but he's his own kind of thing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, hip hop had not come to South Central Los Angeles yet.
Nah,
right?
Absolutely not. Not in the way
that it did. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they put the West Coast, they put that Oak Tree in all of them albums that you mentioned and all of those different rappers, they all spring from they are all branches off the NWA Oak.
Right.
Oh, right? Yeah. Like, you know, from Snoop, Dogg Pound, Tupac to a certain extent.
Tupac for sure.
And so, like, what these guys are trying to do
had never been done before.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
No. Doesn't seem possible.
It's a waste of time.
It's a waste of time.
Even your mama, and you can, the mom loved him. She loved him, but he was messing up.
Yeah.
She said, either you're going to go to school or you're going to get you a job. You're not going to just be in here listening to your music all day.
You got
to
do something.
When you think about it, like, NWA's music, this is what makes the shit so ridiculous, is that, like, it doesn't fully make sense to me why it's so good. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, Dre's beats, sonically, it's dope. Easy's not the best rapper.
No, not at all.
In the world, but they bottled up what it was like to be in LA.
Yeah.
What it was like to be them.
Dope, man.
And it somehow was the perfect recipe. They had Cube doing the writing, which was dope.
Right.
And especially coming from, like, the World Class Wrecking Crew, how we get to NWA,
it's just a 180.
It's ridiculous. Yeah,
180.
It's a big. I don't know how it happens.
You know, the reason it worked, because nobody knew what it was at the time, but it was definitely relatable.
Yeah.
Because when they dropped F the Police, you know, I don't know if we can cuss on here, but.
Yes, you can. Come on. You know
no. When they dropped Fuck the Police.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to say that, but we just didn't. You know, people
had
time
no voice. They said it in their bed. Yeah. They said it in the cars. They was driving home after getting stopped. They said it in the house. They said it when they was on their face.
Yeah.
On their ground on the concrete.
And this is Daryl Gates, LAPD.
Yeah.
We can't forget. You know, who's the chief?
And there was a scene where they was like, man, it was the feds that was on them. They was like, yeah, the feds did. I mean, if it was the LAPD, it'd be a little different. They were more afraid of LAPD than they were of the feds, bro.
Yeah.
Because, if you notice in that movie, they got, I'm sorry, I didn't mean
that. No, go ahead.
In that movie, the police pulled up a lot.
Come on, bro.
It was at least three or four times that they kept getting jammed up by the police.
So, and this is 86 for them in the movie. 86, 87, when they were in front of the record studio in Torrance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It didn't matter where you was at, bro. LAPD is everywhere.
LAPD.
I remember walking down the street, regular. I'm 10 years old, but I was a big kid. I looked 13, 14. I would get stopped by the police all the time. You know how many curbs I done sat on?
Bro.
From elementary school up until I moved out of LA.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, getting stopped by the police was a regular situation. Let me see your ID. I don't have no ID. Yeah, I'm lying. Mm-hmm. They used to think I was lying because I was only like 12, 13. They thought I was like 16.
Because you're big.
I was a big dude. I was a big young kid.
And wasn't smiling.
Right. And in the way I looked, the way I dressed.
Right. The way you dressed.
I understand. Yeah. And so, and remember that.
Your curiosity.
Right.
At the slightest. Like, if I was a police officer, I'd want to talk to you as well.
They're pulling me over. Shining light in my face. I'm walking home late. It's night. It's nighttime. Don't let me be with the homies anymore. Four or more is a gang.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Remember that time when they passed that little situation where four or more young teenagers, black and brown, was getting stopped.
It's unfortunate, man. You've just got one of those faces.
Ah.
Like, you know, like this is the nicest man.
Oh, yeah.
The kindest man. Love, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
feel me?
Biggest heart. Yeah. Most terrifying motherfucker ever. Right?
Like, by the hood?
Yeah.
And the police.
I don't know what it is, but your genome
mm-hmm.
is just projects hood
nigga.
A hood, right. Just a strong, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm sorry that they, that they
I survived
that.
It.
But at the same time,
yeah, you did.
I'd be I like, sure. There's a gentleman outside.
he's you gonna, are you gonna call on me?
So he's eating now, he's, ladies.
I would have black in the second grade.
He's a black tourist.
No, I just want to know.
He's eating now, ladies.
There's a gentleman, he's been eating now, ladies for hours.
Outside. He's not doing anything, but he's here.
Could you guys just check them out? No, I would never do that.
I remember being in the seventh grade, leaving out of bomb. He was walking home from school, and I went to homies. This is me and like, it's a packet. You know, all the kids are walking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, leaving
and
school. Yeah.
Leaving school. So let's say it's 120 kids crossing the street, mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying, right, playing around, waiting for the bus. And I'm walking with like maybe like 5-6 of the homies, and the police pull up. Now, mind you, it's police around because something happened. Right. Like somebody just got jacked, somebody got robbed or something. But we were already in school. The school just let out. It was 3:10. Mm-hmm. So now it's 3:25. We outside, and the police is driving through the hood. This mm-hmm. is over there by Audubon. And I'm walking with my friends. It's a gang of kids, a gang of us.
Yeah.
They stopped me.
Because they was like, look at they that grown up walking with
they
the kids.
They think I'm going to blend in.
Exactly.
And so I see two or three dudes sitting on their knees or with their hands behind their back. Mm-hmm. And I felt just like when Ice Cube came out the homie house.
Yeah.
And they just grabbed me.
Yeah.
Just grabbed me and sent them to me.
I ain't do
what you doing? Yeah. I just got a class. I'm in the seventh grade. They think I'm either in high school or then they're out of there. And they got me sitting next to these niggas who clearly one got a gun. They got the gun sitting on the sidewalk next to him because it's his gun. Mm-hmm. And they got me right next to him.
It's
and,
the connective tissue and, to the L.A. riots, man.
And these niggas like, I don't know, cuz. I don't know this dude. Yeah. I'm a young dude. They think I'm with him. And these dudes like, we don't know him.
Yeah,
like,
all of those things are ingredients.
Yeah.
N.W.A.'s experience. The music, which is rebellious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Much the same way that Public Enemy's music is rebellious.
Right.
N.W.A.'s music is rebellious. Mm-hmm. It is. Fuck the police.
Right.
It is express gangsta, yourself.
Gangsta.
It is empowering.
Right.
And all of that's happening in LA.
Right.
Right. And so, yeah, in many respects, like NWA's music and what this movie illustrates kind of become the banner in which we walk under. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, there's weird things happen in LA too with gangbanging.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, in this movie, touches on it, but very thinly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Like it's not heavy handed
right.
that like, yeah, we got Bloods and Crips happening
right.
here at the same time. But I do want to give some flowers to some of the actors. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So one of the roles like Jason Mitchell was Eazy-E.
Yeah.
Was amazing.
I loved him. Did his thing.
He was did his thing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Lil Ice Cube as Ice Cube. He did a great job at his dad.
What sold it was him looking like Ice Cube.
Yeah, that's his daddy. I thought that Corey Harkins as Dr. Dre, at first I was like, this is my least favorite portrayal in the movie.
Yeah.
And because, Corey Harkins is he's a Juilliard guy.
Right.
He's not an L.A. guy, right. You know. And so it's just like, and he's playing Dr. Dre. But I think the thing is what makes Dr. Dre so hard to do is even though he's been in the public eye for all these years, we really don't get a sense of who he is, right?
Yeah, no.
Like,
very,
like yeah. Cube wrote for him, Snoop wrote for him. So anything that you hear from a lyric standpoint is somebody else's words.
Right.
Right? Zebit wrote for him. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you get a sense of who he is from his music. It's not like you get a sense of who he is from the very few interviews that we kind of see. So he's the hardest actually to portray because you got
the smallest personality too. You got
not a lot to work with
mm-hmm.
in terms of bringing this character on stage. But I thought that Corey did good enough job mm-hmm. to really kind of help us flesh out and understand Dre a little bit more. Because he's the most mysterious out of all the members.
Okay. I think he did a great job with him because if you ever met Dr. Dre, he's like a real mellow kind of. But you can look at that guy and be like, all right, this is a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
He's neutral. Dre is going to go with, okay, whatever makes sense for the record, that's where I'm going with it. You know what I'm saying? So at first, when it first started off, when I was seeing the preview, I was like, man, is he going to be able to pull off Dre?
Mm-hmm.
Then when I watched the movie, I was like, oh, no, he did that.
You feel like he really knocked it out?
I think he did, yeah.
So I got to say this. Too.
Yeah.
I didn't like him.
You wasn't feeling it. Okay.
Give
us your whys.
Let me say this real quick. And because I think this is the first time I've seen him, Did I see him in Walking Dead first?
He was in Walking Dead for like three episodes.
And I hated him there because of the
dreads were bad.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now, let me say this. I think Corey Hawkins, I've always thought he was a good actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I never seen him in the role. I was like, oh, he can't act. He's not that strong. No, he's very strong of an actor. I didn't like him as Dre. Yeah. I didn't think this dude was from L.A.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
I didn't think that.
That was a problem.
He does look like Dre.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a type. I'm going to tell you something real quick. This might sound crazy to y'all, but he did. I'm looking at nuances,
yeah.
And I'm like, he's not from here. He's not from here. And let me tell you something real quick. I'm going to say this. This morning is random, off topic a little bit, but it's on topic.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah,
I was watching a clip of him. It was on IG of him with the movie, it's called Prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Terrence Howard and Viola Davis.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that one. I want to.
It was a scene where he's at someone's door. He's a police officer in this movie, and he says, "What's up, man?" And he's looking at the guy. The guy opened the door, cracked. He's like, "What's up?"
Mm-hmm.
And the guy says to close the door on him, and he pushes the door open.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Gyllenhaal's character, and the way he said, he was like, "What's up, man? What's going on?" I promise you, I've been saying this about Jake for a while. I see like little nuances in how he talks.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this white dude, where did he really grow up at?
Yeah.
Where is he from? I promise you, man. I was like, he feels like a white boy that grew up in L.A. Not South Central necessarily, but in the Valley or somewhere.
Yeah.
Like he's been around blacks and Mexicans in some way.
Yeah.
Right.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara especially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I look up his I've been knowing him for years as an actor. Never knew where he was from. California.
Yep.
Went to Harvard Westlake. That's 20 minutes from here.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's so when he plays these rural characters, like these kind of like cool white boy characters, I see it. I'm like, it's something about him and his acting that Shia LaBeouf, same situation. Mm-hmm. Even with Stevens. Just it's certain type of when you're a non-black person from California, from LA, from Southern California, you can tell. Or just from California in general, it's a coolness about them.
So let me ask you a couple of questions real quick. Okay. A couple of follow-ups. So did you feel like Aldis Hodge, who played Ren, did he feel LA? Or
he was his lines were so limited.
Mm-hmm.
He looked it.
He didn't get a feel.
He looked it.
Mm-hmm.
He looked it.
But he didn't put enough on screen for me to
doubt him.
What about the guy that played Yella, Neil Brown Jr.?
Neil Brown Jr.
Light skinned, funny.
I don't really know too much about DJ Yella.
DJ Yella. DJ Yella could be. I'm from Seattle, but I moved out here when I was 22, and now I do music with Dre.
I get exactly what you're saying, because even if we take the bus scene, Ashton Sanders being from Carson, you could just tell
he knew his lingo. Even though here's the thing, I seen him. I forgot that he was in that. Mm-hmm. I seen him in playing RZA. I hate him playing RZA.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then I see him playing this small character. I'm like, oh yeah, he just reminds me. He remember a dude. He looks and reminds me of a dude I went to high school with, middle school with.
Yes.
So even Justin Mitchell is not from L.A. But he still gave me that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
He did his thing. Where is Lakeith Stansfield from?
He from Victorville.
Yeah.
But he's not even from there. He's from somewhere else before he moved to Victorville. Because I know, I met a guy who's from Victorville who knows him and his family. Mm-hmm. And he, like, he's not really from Victorville. He moved out here years after he was like damn near grown.
Yeah, he was born in San Bernardino.
He's a great actor.
Yeah.
But the Snoop Dogg was like.
Yeah,
The West Coast LA mannerisms, yes, but not playing Snoop though.
Not Snoop.
I feel like they dubbed his voice too.
It felt like it.
Did they dub? I only think I heard his voice. I think it sounded like Snoop.
Yeah, I think they used
the
track.
For one, he's too short.
Yeah.
He's not a short guy, but he's not Snoop. He's 6'4".
Yeah.
He could have played Corrupt.
He could have played Corrupt.
He could have played a great Corrupt.
Yeah. He could have played Snoop. He should give us a different Snoop. And sometimes when
Snoop was probably the hardest to cast because Snoop has the most unique look out of all of them. Right? But, like, mm-hmm. it would have been hard to find somebody that could pull Snoop Dogg off.
That's the thing. When you cast, now, mind you, I believe the guys that produced this, one of the guys is a small world, because one of the guys knows my brother from back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Right. I came with my brother. I believe he's from Chicago, but he spent so many years out here. Mm-hmm. For one, F. Gary Gray is from L.A. He's the one that directed this film.
Yeah.
And there's a little history with that, too. I heard that one of my brothers like, bro, I had a little run-in with F. Gary before the whole director shit, before the USC and all mm-hmm. that shit.
Wow.
I knew him when we was in high school. And it was an encounter back in the day. You know what I'm saying? But that happened in Hawthorne.
See?
Hawthorne Mall back in the day. Yeah. So he was like, anyhow. But, like, I feel like... I understand sometimes it's so many, and when we're doing LA characters, LA biopics and stuff mm-hmm. like that, there's so much people here. There's so many people here.
Yep.
Let me cast it. Let mm-hmm. me cast people from LA that can play LA characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I'm right. okay with, I wouldn't change Eazy-E. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I love Aldis Hodge as an actor. Mm-hmm. He's not.
Ren wasn't a lot.
Right, he wasn't
a lot to do.
But DJ Yella, he reminded me of these, that character mm-hmm. reminded me of DJ Yella.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's another dude. It's crazy who I used to get them mixed up. DJ Yella, the guy that played DJ Yella, his name again?
Mm-hmm. What's his
Neil
name?
Neil Brown Jr.
Neil Brown Jr. Mm-hmm. And then another guy in the same that played that was in Straight Outta Compton, Maldonado. First name, last name is Maldonado.
I'm looking.
But anyhow, I think he's from LA. I'm not sure, but he did a mm-hmm. good job. But they look alike. They look like they could be brothers. And yeah. I usually get the two actors mixed up, but they're both in Straight Outta Compton. Lakeith Stansfield, Lakeith, I believe him as an LA dude or a Long Beach dude, but not as Snoop.
Not as Snoop. That's the thing. He could play the LA role, I feel, but the Snoop Dogg was mm-hmm. like, because when you thinking Snoop,
it's the look.
Yeah.
You know, especially because we waiting on Snoop.
Yeah.
You know, like. We know where the story is going. We mm-hmm. know where the movie is going. So the first time we see the actor that played Suge, we're like, oh shit, that's Suge.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, who was larger than life.
Right.
You know, at the time.
I know that guy too. I met him after the show. I met him like a year ago.
Yeah, he listens to the podcast.
Yeah, and we'll have him on the show. Yeah.
He's a good actor.
Yeah. He's a great actor. He's actor. Dope.
Yeah. I just felt
I'm
like.
Specific. I'm very, and I'll tell him to his face. And I didn't tell him when I met him, but I will mm-hmm. because now we're becoming more comfortable and we're building a rapport. And he's a dope actor. I'm definitely gonna work with him.
Yeah.
Suge is specifically a different type of person. He looked like Suge. Mm-hmm. I need him to be a little taller.
Yeah.
A little bigger. And a little bit more
menacing.
A little bit more West Coast.
Now I want to say to jump on the other side of that. I believe that's why Suge Knight was kind of mad about the whole thing because I felt like in the movie they watered Suge way down. Yeah, they show certain parts of him.
Yeah.
But what I heard about Suge, it wasn't like that.
Because because Suge has a charming side to him. Mm-hmm. But even when it's charming, it's still like a little, hey man, it's all good. Hey, you got a tone.
Mm-hmm.
You good, bro?
I'm terrified.
Hey man, saw them out, my nigga.
Yeah. Because they was really scared of him.
Yeah.
Like, But Dre wasn't.
Dre wasn't.
All the time.
Yeah.
There came a point in time where Dre was like,
yeah.
Like even I remember Dad's like, bro, come on, man. I ain't scared of nobody.
Quick.
The average person, and rightfully so, mm-hmm. he had a crew of dudes, and Suge is a big dude, big, strong dude. So he definitely putting his hands on people, he's hands on. So I wish they would have gave him more, and I think the guy could have done it. You know what I'm saying? He's a dope actor, so.
I think he could have bodied it, but I think they watered
him down. We could have gave Suge a little bit more. I mean, like, you know, because they have, like, when they have, you know, homie that runs up on Jerry Heller at his house. right?
Yeah, like, you know, that's Thomas Jones.
Yeah, I know.
who did a good job?
He was good enough. Jerry. Yeah. He's like, I'm milking that line to get as much screen time as possible. Now, but yeah, I think they could have gave Suge a little bit more.
I want to say, like, let me just put this out here. Mm-hmm. I love the way the movie was shot.
Yes.
It's very cinematic.
I love the grittiness. Yep. I feel like I was in LA.
In the beginning.
Yep.
But my only problem is I wanted to see, which I love that they did with Ice Cube, where he went back at NWA.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, man. Y'all kind of made my boy Easy kind of like, y'all not going to get him going in on y'all? Y'all mm-hmm. just kind of cut it. It jumped. Because if you notice, the movie jumped from when they show Tupac. I'm like, because mm-hmm. it goes 1995, right? Mm-hmm. No, 93.
We should have saw Real Compton City G's. We should have heard that.
That's what I
we should have heard. 100%. No Vaseline. We should have heard Real Compton City G's, and we should have heard The Chronic. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? We heard
because the part where
Murder Was the Case. Yeah. I mean,
it's cover, right?
Cover, yeah.
It's produced by, you know, Cube and Dr. Dre. Yeah. So they have control and probably don't want them records being played.
Because I know,
but it's a part of the story.
It is.
It's a part of the story.
You
got to
put this because at the end of the day, that was still their homeboy. Jerry mm-hmm. Heller messed it up. You know, he started Eazy-E's money started everything.
Yeah,
right. You know,
yeah.
So the part I didn't like in the movie was when he's driving and the Chronic comes out and Eazy is driving and he looks up at the billboard. I'm like, bro, mm-hmm. on that album. It was Dre Day was on that album. Yeah. That was it. Snoop went in on Eazy-E, mm-hmm. and then Eazy-E went back. This they made it seem point. Like, oh, hey, Dre.
This
man,
is a good point.
They skipped the part where Eazy was clapping back.
Yep.
Yes.
And they skipped the part where they didn't really, on the Chronic, the first song mm-hmm. is dissing.
Yeah,
right.
Snoop is going in.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
But they didn't have, absolutely right.
They didn't have a good enough Snoop, in my opinion.
You're
so
they didn't want to.
Yeah.
And like.
Who was a nigga in the Tupac movie? They needed to use him to be Snoop.
Yeah.
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 And just like, I feel like I feel like it was 80% thorough.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Thorough when it comes to casting.
I felt like we had too many wives. Like too much time dedicated to the wives.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and you could tell that they'd almost feel like that they were a part of the process of producing the movie. And so, you know,
Tamika,
Tamika Wright.
There was time spent like on the wives where it's like, not that the wives' stories don't matter, but every piece of screen time is valuable.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there might have been more powerful cinematic and storytelling elements to be put in there by the fact that establishing that, like, oh, these guys are, you know, they're the wives are doing the books and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because they predicted, I mean, how they had it in there is like Eazy lost everything and it was just kind of, I'm just giving up to Tamika. That was not the case. Mm-hmm. The anger was still dissing.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I'm saying? He was going in, he had his Ruthless from, damn, I always forget his name. BG Knockout.
Yeah.
They were some solid artists. They wasn't like no pushover artists. So
we should have saw them.
And he had Bone.
Yeah. Oh, Bone too. Yeah.
They have one line where they talk about Bone. Bone, my favorite group of all time. You know what I'm saying? Wu-Tang is the best of all time.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite group growing up was Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Hell yeah.
Of course, then you got, it's a duo, but you got Outkast, but Bone was my group.
Oh, man.
And I felt like if Eazy would have passed, Bone would have been even stronger. They hit the ground running and it was dope.
Hey.
But when they lost him, they lost their way.
That's true.
You know, I think that, and they were selling. They were selling.
They was doing that
no
shit.
One had ever seen nothing like Bone.
No.
From Ohio,
with
the West Coast swag, with the flow they had. No one has seen that. Singing, rapping, no one has seen that.
That shit's crazy.
I feel like it would have got better and better and better and stronger with that hood influence from Eazy-E. God rest his soul. But we had too much of the wives.
And I think they put the wives in there to make up for a lot of stuff that wasn't really told with the Eazy.
We didn't even know that was. We assumed that it's Warren G because he's bringing Snoop over, but Warren G does not look like Warren G at all.
Yeah.
Bad casting, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Keith Powers playing Tyree. I feel like Tyree was from LA or from Compton.
Tyree was great.
I like this character. You know what I'm saying? And they spent some time on him.
Yeah. He was great.
And that's Dr. Dre's producing it, but it's also it's an ode to his brother.
Yeah.
He's playing homage to his little brother. Mm-hmm. And his little brother, all those things happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was right.
So
I thought it was going to really break down the three part story. I thought you were going to get the Cube, what he went through with Priority. You got Dre's side.
Mm-hmm.
But the kind of only thing they really dived into with Eazy is him and Jerry Heller. It was way more than that, bro. They didn't even show him go to the White House.
Right.
Yeah.
They just mentioned it.
They mentioned it. That was big. He went to the White House and had Jerry Curl juice dripping on
I thought that they spent a lot of time with Jerry Heller. I really like Paul Giamatti's performance.
He's a great actor.
Yeah. He's always a great actor. He feels slimy and swarmy, but at the same time.
Genuine at the same time.
I came across feeling like he was fucking with Easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that one scene where Easy, you know, finally drops him, and Paul, as Jerry Heller, is trying to reel Easy back in, mm-hmm. and he's like, you know, do I take care of myself? Yeah, yeah, I take care of myself, but you can't say I didn't take care of you. You know what I mean? Like, 100%. Like it's almost kind of like you know what it is.
Yeah,
and
like you get it.
I wouldn't be surprised if because Easy E never was paying attention to the paperwork.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't.
You know what I'm saying? So he was probably overseeing and not overlooking things or not even looking at things, and things were happening.
Mm-hmm.
And Heller was like, bro, this is the game. You got to pay attention. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. I feel like he was, you know, I feel like he had genuine love for, or at least the movie portrays mm-hmm. that Jerry yeah. Heller had genuine love for him. I don't, like, the movie doesn't come right out and say that, like, Jerry Heller was ripping him off, but I'm sure Jerry Heller was ripping him off. But I think to your point, like, I'm not doing you as bad as I could.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm taking care of myself. I'm gonna be double dipping.
He could have done better though. Mm-hmm. Had to because he had a dream team.
Yeah,
he had Easy, Dre with the production, mm-hmm. and he had Cube mm-hmm. and Ren. And Easy and Ren is the real gangsters.
Yeah,
and Dre and Cube are the real artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He had a perfect situation.
He did.
DJ Yellow's the second DJ.
And can't forget about DOC.
DOC.
I didn't really like how he was depicted. He didn't really have too much.
He never did nothing but sit there and look cool.
And be drunk. Get your little ass.
Now, what I didn't like, and maybe I'm wrong for saying this, but I felt like they set the tone. In the beginning of the movie, mm-hmm. when you see the dope house, Easy mm-hmm. going there, he like, nigga, nah, fuck that bitch. Did I say I wanted something to drink?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of like, damn, Easy is this gangster. If I felt like as the movie went on, he got softer and softer.
And I'm okay with that. Let me tell you why. Okay. I get that. I agree. Mm-hmm. I thought the same thing. He ain't in the streets no more.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to go legit. And if you watch you see his interviews, he was always, what's up, man? It's Easy E, man. You know what I'm saying? Doing silly shit. He was a goofball as well.
Yeah.
But when he had to walk into a dope house by himself on the solo tip, nigga, what's happening, bro? Nah, I got you. I got nigga outside your mama house right now. Nigga.
And his character says when he has a conversation with Dre, I'm tired of this shit.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a way. I think they could have been more heavy-handed when Easy E says, I got to kill Shug Knight.
Yeah.
And Jerry Heller talks him out of it. I don't like that part.
He going to real motherfucking G's. He going to ruthless with that.
Yeah, like if somebody's going to talk him out of not killing Shug Knight, it's going to be one of the goons.
Right.
It's not going to be Jerry Heller.
Yeah. Right.
Like Jerry Heller isn't going to speak wisdom
unless he's like, bro, you going to jail forever. That line from anybody might change. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
True.
You're saying,
but like of all the places to go after Shug Knight. In the goons.
He
goes to Jerry Heller's house, though?
He should have went to the
sit in his backyard?
He should have went to Rand's house.
That part doesn't make sense.
It does.
Right.
Right.
Like, now, how true is that? Unless Jerry was like, he came to my house one day with a gun. You know what I'm saying?
But
it wasn't for me. It was for someone else. He told me he's going to have to kill Shug.
It just doesn't seem that's where he would go.
I agree with you because during that time when it was beefing, nigga, he was calling out Shug. He didn't give a fuck. Easy didn't. So I'm like, you had to have the Ruthless Records because they didn't really show that getting established because they were still dropping shit. When he dropped Real Motherfucking G's,
mm-hmm.
I know I mentioned it before, but that shit went crazy niggas was like, oh, no, that nigga's still doing this shit.
Yeah.
When he said Snoop Dogg's a 60-pound and dripping wet, like he went at these niggas.
Yeah. All the homies, his little brother, you know what I'm saying? All the niggas was with the
Dre
shit.
Dre is a baby gangster.
Yeah, see?
I love that.
The knocked out definition, there is the baby gangster.
Here goes my left blow. Mm-hmm. Like
they was with the whole shit. They
I mean, they touched on, like Cube not signing the contract. Like,
I love that scene.
That was perfect. That's what kind of needed
to happen.
They
had to have him
Cube
going to
Cube made sure
the,
he got his shit in there.
Yeah, I went in there with a bat, nigga. I went in there with a bat. Make sure you get that.
Cube made sure his shit was in there.
So yeah, his stuff got in and his interviews. So they set Cube up. They set Cube up really nice. They set Dre up really nice.
Really nice.
I think they tried to. And you guys have both called it out. This movie does not capture the animosity between the two camps.
No, at all.
Not yet. They showed it because it was real. It was real shit.
Yeah.
And then I heard it, according to the story, the movie, it was getting better. It was getting better.
Towards the end.
Yeah.
But that, we
that
needed
part,
to see.
That part is believable.
We needed to see them niggas crossing. Well, we saw it at the little convention center where he went, nigga, this lynch mob. And like, that was a cool little scene. But that was a fundamental part of the music, though.
Right.
Like the Chronic and Dre Day and that music video, like the beef was much bigger. And much pronounced.
I would have wanted
what the
to
film
see,
portrays.
You know, with No Vaseline, they sat there and then they listened to the whole song in the room together.
Yeah,
I'm sure that really happened.
Yeah,
they should have been. I wanted to see Ice Cube, not Ice Cube. I wanted to see Dre, and Snoop look at or listen to Real Compton CDGs.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted to see that. All right, you know what I'm saying? Or Eazy-E listening to.
Do you guys believe that? And again, you have to. It's the story that they've told, and the people that were involved told the story. But like, do you think the first time they heard No Vaseline, they was all shucks like that? Like,
I just see Yella. Yella's the Yella part. That shit nice.
Yeah, but they was like smirking through it.
But they missed the part, and it was key. Ice Cube dissed them back. If you go back to the old footage, they have Hello Ice, and they wrote it on the wall, and they spitting on the wall, and they talking all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
They should have showed that. They show y'all niggas sitting at Jerry Heller's house. Nigga, no, yeah. Nigga.
Yep. Them niggas grinning like somebody battle rapping you, and it's like, he's clever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know.
And then they got yelling, talking about some, it is dope. Like, come on, bro. Like, that was like,
That part, you know, that part.
One thing I like was the Detroit, Michigan show.
That was
the
great.
Fuck the police.
That was great.
Yeah. That seemed to be kind of like a nice
shot. Well, great. Shot great. Well. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, from a movie standpoint, I remember this movie being a big deal when it came out, and rightfully so. I love the social media campaign where everybody could say where they were straight out of.
Yeah.
It's funny how time works, where villains become superheroes. Because these motherfuckers were hated and despised
by
mainstream media.
Right.
The movie doesn't fully portray just how hated Cube was.
Right.
And just, you know, how the movie doesn't fully capture how many white people fell in love with NWA. Right? Mm. Like, you know, and how, like, they were, how they bought a lot of the music.
For real. College kids, too.
But I think, in terms of biopics, I think it's one of my favorites.
It is, too.
I'm not mad at it.
I'm not mad either.
It's miscast in a little bit. And I think what's interesting about this particular biopic, this is, I think, a really good point for us talking about like men of our age. We lived through all of this.
Yeah.
So we know a lot of this versus when you get a biopic, you know, like we did Tina Turner last week, right? And so, you know, I didn't grow up like reading the headlines like, oh shit, I beat on Tina last night, right?
Right.
Like, so, but I think the fact that we all know
the riots
so much of
really
the story
everybody,
very
even them.
Well.
Hell yeah.
That like, despite the fact that we know it so well, I think it's still really good.
Because we can nitpick it, we know
because
so much
we know it. So we know what they left out.
I don't know why we needed to see Dre meet Nicole at the pool party.
Yeah.
And why they had him driving her to her house.
She's one of the producers.
Yeah.
And it's
why,
almost
they
kinda,
had a conversation about, you know,
no, it was
you
really,
asked me to move in.
Like, it's like the
that,
same
no,
shit.
No one cares about
when
that.
When my wife posts something on her social media and I don't like it, like that's the kind of energy that got her into the movie.
Right.
Right. Right? Yeah, like, yeah. You're going to do a whole movie about your life and not mention me?
Yes.
Right? Like, okay, let's write her in. Let's write me meeting my wife. She's inconsequential to the story.
It doesn't make sense.
It's wasted time.
Yeah,
it's wasted time.
We could have saw an interaction with Dre and Snoop.
Fuck, give me more Jimmy Iovine.
But see, that's
you know what I mean? Like, you know,
I felt like if you're gonna bring Snoop into it, you have to do the part. I mean, they kind of touched on it. Ain't nothing but a G thing. They went into that, but he rapped for Dre on the phone in jail. Mm-hmm. He did a verse that way, and then, I'm like, I would have rather saw that than him taking the thing. And it was cool when he did the drive in the Ferrari and everything because that really happened,
right?
But it was like, why? And then you go to that part, like you said, to you gonna move in together? It was like, what?
It was all in his he's driving and he gets pulled over by the police, and it's a big ass chase.
Yeah,
who cares? Unless you get shot. Like when it happened in with Tupac, he actually shot at them dudes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was a thing that was all over the news, and he went to jail for the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, he got in trouble for that. Like,
it's
that was such a small part.
It's difficult for me to understand how Tupac can be an afterthought in this movie.
First of all,
you know, like he's you know,
that's what I was gonna say earlier. I felt like, so if you look at the movie, it goes 93, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it just skips to Pac.
Right.
I'm like, Pac didn't get to Death Row till 95, 96. Mm-hmm. Eazy-E was damn near, he wasn't, I don't think the timeline corresponded with what was going on because they, and I didn't like this casting of Pac. Like, Hail Mary, then he's in there. Hey, what's up, Dre?
Yeah, he's difficult to cast.
Dre and Pac, Dre and Pac was going at it.
Yeah.
Too.
He's very difficult to cast.
He's difficult to cast.
But you gotta do better.
I felt like,
because there's an energy. It's more. Yeah. It's more than just the look with Pac. There's you voice. Need the energy too. you gotta get this one right. Right.
Yeah. Fact.
This guy's important. You gotta get this one right.
Yeah. I felt like in this movie, whoever that was beefing with them or had some kind of conflict, character just got watered down.
Yeah.
Pac wouldn't come on, man.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He didn't even need to be mentioned. They just threw him in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably why. Because he didn't. Because by the time his era really started after N.W.A.
Eazy was gone.
Yeah. It could be a studio note. Like,
Eazy was gone.
We have to write Snoop into a scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we have to write Pac into a scene because they were there. Right. But it's almost kind of like, but these characters are so important, it might be better to either leave them out or, you know, like you've been alluding to, tighten up the story a little bit.
Yeah. Facts.
Mm-hmm. Right? You already have a lot of characters.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't do Ren any favors.
No. Nah.
We don't get it. We don't get any sense of
he was who just he a is and
yeah, I would have loved from. Because his character, maybe because in real life we didn't know much about Ren.
Yeah.
He didn't get a lot of interviews by himself, or he didn't talk a lot.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why too. But I would have loved to see all I know is he from Kelly Park. Well, I knew that already.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and he was with the shit when the niggas came up looking for his girlfriend at the hotel.
Yeah.
I really believe that really happened. You know what I'm saying? I heard that Ren was I don't know him. You know what I'm saying? But I heard that he was he really was with the shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Eazy-E was a hustling ass gangster nigga that was just everybody ain't got 12 bodies each.
Yeah.
But they still in the streets in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So they solidified the NWA, but the gangster shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because this nigga Cube was going to school. On the Palisades.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Dre were doing disco, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Damn near. You know, but he was a real nigga. You know what I'm saying? So, and he lived in the hood, and he was with the shit. Like, but it's just, they started off so strong. That opening scene is amazing.
This is, man.
One of the best.
Bro.
And it gave me, nigga, this is 80s Compton.
Yeah.
This is,
I even, like.
Like, the tank is coming down the block in Compton. And knocking down, no questions asked, is running into the house.
And you even thought for a second, damn, is Eazy even gonna get out this motherfucker?
Like, right. Listen,
I was.
Movie doesn't get like, the movie lets the gas, like takes its foot off the pedal once we get to Dre. Because I think Cube's setup is awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, when them guys pull that bus over, an OG Two Tone from Crenshaw Mafia.
Crenshaw Mafia.
Get on the bus.
That was a very real scene. Man. I have literally been on the bus. And the bus get pulled over, and Trouble Gang get up on there and start patting pockets.
Trouble.
Yeah.
Compton Minutes did his shit, man.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he
that
did,
line, he did listen. The line where he tell him, he said, man, y'all need to game bang these books.
Yeah.
And he go, because I might be the motherfucker that kill your ass.
Man, really, really? I remember getting stalled out, looking a certain way, but hey, cuz, where you from, nigga?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, man, why you dressed like that then? Nigga, why you doing this? Blah, blah, blah. What's your belt say? I had a web belt with my initials on it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They had J on it. And JP, they were like, is that Jungles? Nah, nigga, this ain't, nah, this mm-hmm. is my name, Jade. And he stalled me out. Mm-hmm. But yeah. This is probably a real killer ass nigga. He a real gangbanger.
Yeah.
And he not tripping about the young niggas. I'll let the young niggas get you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to check you real quick and keep pushing. Like, he could have came on, he's supposed to get up and beat the kid up. Not kill the kid in front of all them other kids, mm-hmm. but he's supposed to get up there and drag him off the
smack
bus.
Smack him.
And snap him around, but he didn't even do that. The dude was already peeing in his drawers. He was already scared.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, this is where my PTSD from hood movies comes in.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching this movie and I'm terrified. I'm mm-hmm. terrified because he looks so familiar.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, OG Two-Tone?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And not just, I'm not talking about him specifically.
Talk about the
what he embodies.
Yeah.
What he embodies. And I think that, like, damn, if they could have, to a certain extent, kept that energy mm-hmm. from the opening scene with the tank to OG Two-Tone, I think it frames a lot more of where this music comes from. You know, because that the grittiness of it is the origins, it's the root that makes these NWA mm-hmm. niggas and this music and everything kind of work. And so I think we start to get a little bubblegumish.
It does. I hate to say it. Mm-hmm. It kind of does. And I didn't think that until we start breaking it down. I'm like, it did. Even some of the goons from Suge's goons, it was big, and I believed it. Mm-hmm. I still believed it, but it wasn't as...
They weren't as terrifying as Two-Tone.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
I think that has something to do with the budget, maybe, or this the writing.
Or controlling the set. You know what I mean? Like, actually physically controlling the set.
Possibly,
because if you're going to bring somebody that looks the part, then you're going to bring somebody that is the part.
Right.
Can they act? Yeah. You know, can, you know, do all that kind of stuff.
They should have had those two dudes that's always with Suge. Yeah. Should have been, at least give them some lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, very.
Or have them look as menacing as Two-Tone.
Right.
You know?
There's, in that, if we're going back to that bus scene real fast, I loved it. I loved how it was, even when he said pull the bus over. But there's a goofy part that I didn't like. When he's on the bus and he's getting off the bus, you see these kids just standing by the bus. They just came out of nowhere and the guy rides by on the bike.
Yeah.
I'm just like, man, I felt, me personally, just leave it alone. It's already, now you added it too much. I felt like
all the people outside watching?
Yeah.
Remember how they all just walked closer to the bus?
Yeah.
Bro, we wasn't doing that as your kids. We was away from that bus. We see gang because they had the straps out.
That was the hood. I think
I remember this being at a McDonald's and we see like four or five niggas coming out of McDonald's going across the street to McDonald's and they're like, hey, nigga.
I get you.
Brims, and then the sisters Brim niggas. we started walking over to see what's about to happen. So that's what I said. I kind of get
but
that.
But I mean,
like,
I get what you're saying, the placement of it. But I just felt like they could have been on some, they were just kind of one dude just throwing the ball up. Like,
I got to go back and look at that scene. I saw them through the window.
Yeah.
But I didn't pay too much attention to it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
Okay, so we got to get into some awards.
Okay.
We needed more time.
We did.
You know, we took a flyover. We talked about Jerry Heller. Before we get into some awards, I want to give Jason Mitchell, Eazy-E, Big Flowers.
Hell yeah.
For the way he did the whole movie, but the way he did Sickness was gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
Right? The first time I saw it, it made me emotional.
Yeah.
And each time, the pain, when the doc tells him.
Yeah, he was like, man, stop it, man. I ain't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He said, man, I ain't gay.
But the sadness, the way that the movie from, and again, it's very convenient that everybody shows up at the hospital. I don't know if that, you know, happened in real life. But the movie really nails the emotional ending.
You know,
which is difficult for a cast of men to pull off, right? Like, I think we really come away with a sense of how sad it was. And I think for these very macho guys to act with such vulnerability on the screen, it was very believable and something that isn't easily done.
Right.
You don't see it a lot.
Right.
True. Right?
True.
I think they really nailed the emotional, you know, gut punch of Easy's passing.
Yeah. I dig how even when the wife, Tamika, walked out of there when the doctor gave him the news, because she was in his corner there, and then he hit it, and then he hit him with the rail, and she was it fucked her up, and she had to get a moment. Mm-hmm. She had to walk out and take a moment. That's real.
Yep.
I can see her responding that way.
Yeah,
I love you, but damn, nigga, like unprotected sex
and AIDS is still a big fucking deal in 95.
It's 95, bro. It's super big.
It's
heavy.
You know,
it's so many, man. It's so much opinions about that situation
about Easy's.
Yeah.
And whether it was really AIDS or...
Yeah, what happened to him. Like, you know, there's just a lot of just different
conspiracy theory type shit?
Yeah, yeah. Well, behind
it. Let me have one.
Well, there's one. I mean, this is what you can go watch.
Mm-hmm.
Suge Knight is on Jimmy Kimmel.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there. And if you go look at this interview, Jimmy Kimmel gets so nervous. He doesn't know what to say. His face sells it all. Mm-hmm. Suge goes, yeah, they doing a new thing. Giving you that easy E death, and they where they take somebody with AIDS they inject you. He says this. This is what he says.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, if you kill somebody, you go to jail forever. But now you just died a slow death. That's what he said. So there's a lot of speculation around that.
I'm going to say this. Easy E is, even from the different scenes we saw at the par hotels and stuff, they was on the bus. They smashing. Some of these dudes are smashing the same chick.
That's fact.
He's the only one with AIDS?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Tamika didn't get it.
Yeah.
That was just the get it. Kids didn't get it.
You know what I'm saying? So, and because as diabolical as I keep hearing this dude is, and then,
yeah,
you know, I couldn't put a pad. We got to get rid of this dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's it. I'm saying that's
But at the time, and you would know this, what was Easy a threat to? Right, he had lost a lot of influence. Mm-hmm. Was it the idea that he was going to rejoin with Dre, and Death Row having to put a kibosh on that?
Well, it's before that. It's before that because remember in the movie when he went to get Dre off the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Remember he had to make Easy sign that paper.
Yeah. Right.
And then Jimmy Iovine's character had to come in and get it legally taken off.
But that's
where it started.
But what I mean is if we're playing conspiracy theory games,
mm-hmm.
why take Easy out?
Because Easy wasn't going nowhere. Easy was going to end up reeling Dre back in, possibly.
That was my question.
You know what I'm saying? Right? And like, he wasn't signing initially. He's like, I ain't signing that. She out your fucking mind.
Yeah. So, okay. So this argues the question, and then we'll have to get into some awards. But I like this. So, like, you know, so there's always there's a conspiracy theory that Suge kills Pac because Pac wanted to leave Death Row.
Yeah.
And so... if Suge sees that Easy and Dre are reforming, he is completely boxed out.
Right? Yeah, fact.
Mm-hmm. He loses his number one artist and he loses his number one producer to his rival.
Right.
Right? Yeah, and then all of this talent is going to follow Dre.
Everybody wants to be a part of NWA.
That makes sense.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I believe it.
Okay, so let's give out some awards. Ooh. Who's the MVP? The MVP of Straight Outta Compton.
Ice Cube.
Ice Cube for
Ice Cube.
Yeah,
he's the most likable character out of the story, not just the acting, but I think he's the smartest. He's the only one that didn't sign.
Yeah,
he's the only one that didn't sign, and him not signing later on let Dre know he was right, and Eazy-E know he was right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
Cube was right this whole time.
He was right the whole time. And he did it like a G.
Mm-hmm.
And he dissed when they dissed.
Yeah. He didn't go out there.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think you're right. Because I think out of all of these characters, Cube is the one that we get the most complexity to.
Yeah.
With Eazy-E, you don't get a lot of complexity. With Easy.
Right.
Right? Like, we don't come away learning anything that we didn't already know about how Easy moved or his guile or his business sense or any of that. Same with Dre. Cube is the one that you realize, like, he was complex and smart.
He was asking questions
and
early.
Articulate.
It was.
So where Contour's at? Oh, yeah. We'll get to that. He was like.
Y'all eating lobster and steak, and we eating fat burger.
Yeah. Y'all having a lobster brunches and shit.
Would you agree that Cube's the MVP?
Oh, yeah, I would. Because, like you said, I agree with everything you said. Mm-hmm. How his breakdown was, how he was a no-nonsense type of person. Because I like the part even earlier in the movie when he goes, shut the fuck up, Cube. Write the song, Cube. Yeah, like, yeah. I like. Mm-hmm. I just loved his.
And
character.
He was a younger. He was a youngster. I didn't know how much younger he was than them. He was about 4 or 5 years, at least 4 years younger than Dre.
Than the rest of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the smartest.
Hence, he was the nigga that going to school.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He was the nigga that was really focusing on writing, and you know, Dre was following the passion of music, but he wasn't going. He was missing interviews and shit like that.
Yeah.
He's still living with his mom, and he was grown. You know what I'm saying? Staying with his girl and his child, his daughter with the auntie. Like he found his way.
Shout out to his son, to Junior, to Ice Cube Junior.
O'Shea
Jackson Junior.
Hey, it's difficult to play your dad.
True,
but I think he's got a career in front of him.
Yeah, he's done other stuff.
Dinner Thieves.
Yeah, Dinner Thieves. He was fantastic in that.
I didn't like him that much. Correction. He did good. Mm-hmm. He did good.
Two.
He did, but my standard is high.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying my standard is high. Cause I would have gave it to Lakeith. I would have gave that to Stephen Adams.
That role?
Yeah.
So what's interesting about that Den of Thieves roles and why I liked his performance in it is that when we get to the big reveal, I never saw it coming. Right?
Mm.
Like, you know.
That's more the writing and directing than the actor.
Because to me, at no point does he seem clever.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
He doesn't seem clever enough to be pulling this off. He feels like the runt, looks like the runt, portrays the runt the entire time. And this man is the fucking mastermind. Now, the reason why I think if you put Lakeith there, Lakeith always seems clever. Right? You could see, but at the end when you find out that O'Shea is the mastermind of the whole shit, it's like I do the head grab because I didn't see that character being capable of this thing.
Yeah,
and to me, I think that's testament of a good performance.
Yeah. I had to watch it again.
Yeah.
Is that a blockbuster?
I don't think so. Nah. It stars Gerald Butler.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. It's an adjacent.
Yeah. It's an adjacent.
It's an adjacent.
Cube talking about. O'Shea had to audition.
Stickers.
He had that because
here's the thing.
But I heard an interview where he started going to acting classes. His daddy just wasn't gonna give it to him.
Not give it to him, but I knew it.
But he had a leg up for sure.
Of course. I also might audition too though. You gotta it's yours to keep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you got it already, but it's yours to keep.
Somebody posted back in the day around this movie, like O'Shea Jr. looked more like Ice Cube than Ice Cube looked like Ice Cube. Yeah.
because what would have been hard is that I don't know who you could have cast as Ice Cube.
No. Voice-wise.
And look-wise.
He looks so...
If we look at all the talent that's available, it's going to be an odd motherfucker in a wig.
Unless he's as dope as Justin, because Justin don't really look like Easy. He looks enough like him.
Yeah.
He's a little darker than Easy.
Oh, you're talking about Jason?
But the voice... I said Jason, not Justin. Jason, he has the voice, he has the stature.
Yeah,
I'm looking at Easy. He did a great Easy. So, but does he look that much like Easy E?
I mean, I think that.
But then again, you got a hat, a curl most of the time, and glasses. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like a lot of your face is already hidden.
Yeah. True.
LVP. Who's the LVP? Least valuable player person.
Snoop Dogg.
Dre's wife. Like we get to see him. You know how they introduce how we just see Kim with Cube.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see them meet.
Yeah,
but Kim, to my knowledge, Kim was but we saw that Dre and his wife mate. We didn't need to see that. That's screen time. We need to give her character.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. Who do you think is the LVP?
Out of the three,
out of the whole movie, who would you say is the least important person?
Outside of what I just said,
DOC.
DOC, he had
And they never let him rap.
We never heard it.
That's what I'm saying.
In the movie. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
He was released because he didn't really be DOC in that. He said
they talked
a few
about
lines.
Him so much, and he was talked about in so many scenes. You don't give him nothing. Yeah.
I think you're right.
DOC.
I think that's a sneaky LVP because he's got a lot of screen time. They give him great, you know, capability. In the movie, when he gets his throat, you know, smashed. But why would anybody that doesn't already know this story give a fuck? You never heard him rap, right? So you don't even know about
DLC.
The greatness that, like, oh shit, we lost this legendary, you know,
rapper. Space filler.
Yeah, take the time that we spend talking to these wives, and show me DLC in the booth,
right?
8 bars, just have him spitting 8 bars in the booth.
Yeah. He was really profound when it came to Dre's first album, mm-hmm. all of that stuff, even with NWA. But it was kind of like, he showed him he was in the truck that drove away.
He wrote a lot of
he was talking to Suge, looking at over his shoulder at like, Jerry Heller.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, bro, and we know that he's Dre's close homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give him some more lines, some better lines.
Because he wrote a lot of the Chronic, right?
Yeah, he was
there.
Yeah.
So it's like, so you put him in the movie to show that he was there. You give him no bar time spitting to establish who he is as an MC. Yeah. You don't show him writing or creating.
Right.
He's
just in the studio.
You
with
just
a
show
40.
Him drinking.
Shit sounds dope. And then he drives off in the truck and mm-hmm. then he's in an accident.
Yeah.
Okay. So now it's time to rank it. So on a scale of 5 Black Fists, all time classic, mm-hmm. to 1 Black Fist, black movie, how do you guys rank Straight Outta Compton?
Straight Outta Compton, go ahead. You go ahead.
I give it a 4 fists.
Four fists.
Yeah, because of everything I explained, mm-hmm. I still think it was a phenomenal movie.
I think it was great.
It's great. Because it really, like you said earlier, it really broke down L.A. When you turn that, it reminds you of the Snowfall field, but it had even more like, we could relate. That looked like Granny Auntie's house. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's why.
Uh-huh. So how do you go, four. Joe? You go 4?
I give it a 4. I give it a regular 4.
Yeah.
And because the story was, the acting was, I didn't like, and I met Corey Hawkins. Mm-hmm. I gotta say this. He's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah.
Phenomenal vocalist too. He can sing his ass off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hell yeah.
I saw him in the play. Juilliard. And
this motherfucker's talented.
Bro, crazy.
Yeah.
I saw him live at a play and because I didn't really care for him as an actor. I just didn't like his look, his energy towards the, mm-hmm. but I saw him live. And it gave me a whole new respect for him. I shook his hand at the end of the project. I got to meet him and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, he's dope.
Yeah.
I still don't like him as Dre, but not because he did a bad job acting or a bad job performing as Dre. It's because I'm nitpicky about the character.
Yeah, like, hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that's Dre.
Yeah.
I didn't like. I love Lakeith Stansfield as an actor. Mm-hmm. Didn't like him as Snoop.
Yeah,
no.
You know what I'm saying? Love Jason Mitchell as an actor. Loved him as Easy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
I think like it might have been like too early in Lakeith's run. I think he was still developing his talent as a rapper. I think that like
as an actor or a rapper
as an actor
as an actor
because he really didn't get FaceTime really. He just flashes.
He didn't need to be Snoop Dogg.
Yeah,
he should. He didn't. He's Snoop Dogg is known for the taller than everybody standard stature.
And I would say the Snoop part only mattered if they showed the Easy disc.
Exactly.
Right. If we spend some time with him, you really didn't need him.
Chronic.
Yeah.
Like I feel like Denzel's Alonzo felt L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Alonzo felt like he was from L.A. Mm-hmm. Maybe not born and raised in L.A.
Oh, yeah. But came definitely out here when inspired he was 17, by L.A. 20, yeah.
Yeah. I think this is 4 Black Fists. It has the potential to be 5 because I think this is... Well, the reason why it's not a 5 is that if I was going to tell somebody this story, I think I would much rather them watch a documentary mm-hmm. about N.W.A. than watch this movie. Mm-hmm. Because I think that as good as this movie is, it touches the right notes, it feels good in some spots. It's not the best way to tell the story. Like, you know, there's documentaries about the LA riots, There's some documentaries about NWA that I think I would much rather have them watch than this. And so that's why this is a four black fist
for me. I get that and I agree. I was about to say, man, it needed to be longer, but it's already 2 hours and 27 minutes.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like that, though. It felt like it was an hour and 45.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so.
Unfortunately, you can't tell this movie from, like, what would save this movie if it's the movie about Eazy-E or it's the movie about Ice Cube? Like, just stay in one timeline and tell the story from that one timeline. But I think what it tries to do is it tries to lift
so much
Cube up, Eazy up, Dre up at the same time, while also giving these screen time to, like, these characters that we know. And so it's just like it's too many plates. It's just too many plates on the bar.
I wanted to see scenes that I never heard of before.
Show me something new.
I want to see Ren and Eazy at a burger stand and somebody walking up to him and something happened.
They didn't tell me anything.
They didn't establish the gangsters.
That's why
it's at a
five. We only saw Ren pull up with the strap at the hotel. That was one time. Same thing with Eazy. Don't know if Eazy fought back, but Eazy should have socked one of them before he got packed out.
Because it's called Straight Outta Compton, right? But they really didn't establish that when Ice Cube's parents was outside, was that Inglewood borderline? Because he was right there on Van Ness.
Right.
Like, they really didn't establish that Cube is getting, he meeting up in Compton.
Right.
But he wasn't really raised in Compton.
He
was
from Compton, but he was kept saying, but I get why, because you were part of the group.
Part of the group, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they really didn't touch on the other group that he was in with Jinx and
They mentioned it. He said, then they're gone. but overall,
this movie dope.
It's a good movie.
I watched it again and again and again, and I wanted to see more. That's why it's not a five. Yeah. I'm not satisfied with how much of the story was told.
What I wanted more of is I wanted more Lonzo. Lonzo, he was hilarious.
He said, you can be scared with a nigga with high heels.
Yeah. He was fucking funny. This ain't shit. He was hilarious to me.
Yeah, he did his thing.
He was hilarious.
Yeah, okay. I would have loved to see Michelle.
Yeah. Ooh.
What when you think of NWA, Dre, Suge.
But him and Michelle and Dre had a little issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
I get it.
He said, this nigga's on it. Because Cube said, you hear you on a video of Michelle. They didn't even really go into it, but Michelle was key too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dang, it's good you said that.
I mean, like we ask a lot of this story because we know this story.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Right? But I think because we know this story so well, I think this movie has to meet our bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fact.
And it does, like, we like it, it's not a flop, it's not bad, it's not trash. There have been some other biopics that I've seen, some that focused on Pac, some that focused on Biggie, that I did not enjoy very much at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you know, this clears those, you know, by leaps and bounds. So good, solid, four black
yeah.
fists. Yeah.
I wanted Dre. Dre never looked like, I see Corey Hawkins looks like Dre, but not, he looks like a soft face Dre.
Yeah.
And Dre, even when Dre was young, didn't look soft.
Yeah.
Nah. And Corey looks like he would play the little brother, maybe. I don't know, but
we've talked about this on the podcast before, where some of our classically trained actors, they're really good actors, but this life is foreign to them.
Yeah.
And because it's so foreign, they can do all the character work and study work that they want.
The soul of it.
But they can't quite capture the soul of it.
Well, I think, like, just to piggyback on what you were saying, if you look at Dempsey, what's his name?
Dempsey Idris.
Dempsey Idris. He got with Dub C to portray that Franklin role.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was believable to me.
Yeah, he was believable as an 80s nigga from L.A. Yeah. And he wasn't a gangster. He wasn't supposed to be. What's happening, my nigga? He's supposed to be like, had to sound like it. He's a college boy that went to Palisades. He went to school up in the valley with the white boys and was going to college. So he shouldn't be as much, he shouldn't be like Leon.
Right.
Yeah.
And Leon's another Isaiah John who plays, he's from Atlanta, but he did a good.
He did a good job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we hard on them, but we love them.
Oh, yeah,
and this is a great movie.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
All right, y'all. My boy Jai Lee finally got up on the show,
yes,
man.
Sir.
We're going to have to bring you back for some more shit.
I can't wait. I got a couple in my mind I was going to ask you about when we go off.
Let's do it. Let's do it for sure, man. All right, that's NWA, Straight Outta Compton. I loved it. I'll watch it again. I recommend you. If you haven't seen it, please go see it. All the performances were dope. Even the guy I didn't like, Corey Hawkins, was dope in the movie. He was a decent Dre. He just wasn't the Dre that I had to pick.
Med school Dre.
Yeah, med school Dre for sure. That's funny. Med school Dre. Man. So that's it, man. Catch us next time. I'm your host, Big Jai.
No G Two Tone.
No G Two Tone.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Two Tone Tone.
Oh, no. Tone Tone. Sorry, Two Tone.
Yeah,
Two Tones.
Exactly.
But not Two Tones.
Two Tone, but just Tone Tone.
Yeah.
And then my boy, Jai Lee, man.
Man, appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, man. Catch us next time. Be good or be good at it. We out of here. Peace to the max.
Blackbusters.